Okay, let's try and unpack this. It feels like every single week, just a ton of tech infrastructure news lands on our desks, you know?
Oh, absolutely. New chips, faster networks, storage breakthroughs.
Yeah, just keeping up can feel like, well, like trying to drink from a fire hose sometimes.
It's true. And, the foundational pieces of computing, they're evolving at such an incredible pace.
Right.
It's easy to focus on the shiny new gadgets or the latest AI applications, maybe.
Sure, the front end stuff.
Yeah, but it's the underlying hardware, the
Yeah.
connectivity. That's what really enables everything else.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We've basically pulled together a whole stack of sources, news digests, press releases, some analysis from tech sites, all focused on the latest in hardware, networking, and storage. And our mission really is to cut through all that noise, grab the most important developments, figure out what they actually mean, and, connect the dots to why they should matter to you.
Think of it like a guided tour, maybe, to the bleeding edge of computing infrastructure.
Yeah.
And it's all sourced directly from recent announcements, recent reports. We're talking insights from companies like Samsung, Seagate, Nokia, Synology, QNAP, D-Link, Realtek, loads more.
Exactly. It's really a snapshot of what's happening, like right now. So, where do we even begin with all this change? I guess one of the big shifts, maybe happening a bit quietly but fundamentally, is with the memory chips, right? Inside our devices.
Oh, yeah. Specifically NAND flash memory.
Right.
The sources, they show a pretty clear trend. MLC NAND. That's multi-level cell. It's on its way out.
Really?
Yeah, Samsung, who are obviously huge in this space, they're reportedly stopping production soon, like only taking orders until June, apparently.
Wow, MLC, I remember that. 2 bits of data per cell used to be everywhere.
It did, but it's getting pretty rare now, especially in, consumer stuff that you or I might buy.
I think Samsung's last consumer SSD with MLC wasn't that way back in 2018 or something?
Sounds about right. So even where it kind of hung on, maybe in enterprise gear, it's really shrinking
Yeah, so
fast.
the market's moved on.
Definitely. TLC, triple level cell, that's 3 bits per cell, that's king now, makes up, what, over 60% of sales?
Okay.
And increasingly, you're seeing QLC gain ground, quad level cell, that's 4 bits per cell.
Right. Okay. So here's where it gets interesting, I think. Why the shift? And what's the trade-off? Because cramming more bits into each tiny cell, that sounds like there must be a downside, right?
There is. It's always about density and cost versus performance and durability. It's a balance.
How so?
Well, to store more bits per cell, you need to be able to precisely control and differentiate more voltage levels within that tiny cell.
Okay.
So MLC needed like 4 voltage states, TLC needs 8, and QLC it needs a whopping 16 distinct states.
16, okay.
More states mean you can potentially store more data in the same space, so higher capacity, and it brings down the cost per bit. That's the
What are
upside.
the downside?
It makes reading and writing that data slower, and crucially, it makes the cell less reliable over its lifespan, less durable.
Less reliable, meaning lower endurance, is that it? I think the sources mentioned TBW ratings, total bytes written.
Exactly.
And the QLC drives, they consistently have lower TBW numbers than the TLC ones.
That's the core trade-off right there. You get the higher capacity, maybe lower cost, but you sacrifice some endurance.
So is QLC performance catching up at all?
It is improving. Definitely,
Yeah.
especially for read speeds. Sometimes QLC can get surprisingly close to TLC speeds now.
Ah, okay.
But that durability difference, it's still significant, especially if you're doing a lot of writing, like in servers or, a power user workstation.
Gotcha. So MLC fades out, TLC is dominant, QLC is rising. That's the flash memory picture, pushing densities, lowering costs per gig. But this explosion of data, especially with AI driving so much of it isn't just hitting flash storage, is it? Hard drives are still a massive part of the equation.
Oh, absolutely. And they're seeing huge capacity jumps too. That's where Seagate's Mosaic platform comes in.
Mosaic. That's the HMR tech, right? Heat-assisted magnetic recording.
That's the one. They've been working on this tech for, gosh, over 20 years. And now they're finally putting it into production drives.
And the goal is insane capacity.
Pretty much. They're aiming for 100 terabyte hard drives eventually. The idea is to get 10 terabytes onto each platter, and then you stack 10 platters in a drive.
100 terabytes in one standard 3.5-inch drive. That's just mind-boggling density.
It is. Because the older tech, PMR, perpendicular magnetic recording, the stuff he's used for years, it basically hit a wall. It couldn't squeeze much more data onto a platter.
So HMR is the breakthrough needed to go bigger.
Exactly. And the need is definitely there. Think about all the data being generated by AI, machine learning, high-res video, compliance rules requiring you to keep data longer.
Yeah, it all has to live somewhere.
Right. And for massive amounts of data where cost per gigabyte is critical, hard drives are still way, way cheaper than flash.
What are we talking price-wise?
Well, the sources suggest maybe under like 1.5 cents per gigabyte for these big HDDs.
Yeah.
Compare that to NAND flash, which might still be 10 times that. Easily.
Okay, big difference.
Huge. So even as flash gets denser and cheaper, these HMR hard drives, they're going to remain essential for all that data that doesn't need instant hot access, you know, your colder archives, huge data sets for analysis, that kind of thing.
And speaking of archives, tape isn't dead either, is it?
Not by a long shot. It's still very much a thing for certain use cases. We saw Simply just announced they're integrating the latest LTO-10 drives into their professional tape libraries.
LTO-10, how much does that hold?
30 terabytes per cartridge, uncompressed.
30, wow, and compressed.
Up to 75 terabytes with compression.
75 terabytes on one tape cartridge. You're talking petabyte scale archiving right there.
Exactly. For really massive long-term archives, it's incredibly cost-effective.
And it's not just like the old days of tape, right? There are improvements.
Oh, yeah. You've got things like LTFS, the Linear Tape File System.
Yeah.
That makes the tape act more like a hard drive in terms of accessing files, which is much more user-friendly.
Okay.
And crucially, especially these days, ransomware protection. Data on tape is immutable. Once it's written, you can't easily change it.
The air gap benefit, essentially.
Precisely. That's critical for industries like media and entertainment, life sciences, finance, and increasingly, AI companies dealing with massive valuable data sets they absolutely cannot lose or have corrupted.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how all these different technologies, QLC NAND pushing flash density, HMR driving HDD capacity, and LTO tape from massive archives, they're all pushing boundaries simultaneously.
Yeah, across different tiers of storage.
Yeah.
You've got hot data on fast flash, warm or cold data on those big HDDs, and deep archives on tape.
Which really brings up a core challenge, doesn't it? Where is all this data actually going to live and be processed? The cloud has been dominant for years, but are we seeing a shift?
We are. The sources definitely indicate a significant push, or maybe a resurgence, towards on-premises solutions, especially for demanding stuff like AI workloads or where data sensitivity is paramount.
Right, keeping it in-house. We saw examples of that, didn't we? QNAP launched something new.
Yeah, their new Edge AI storage server.
Yeah.
It's designed as this sort of all-in-one platform specifically for doing AI stuff on-site. Locally.
Okay, so what does that actually mean? What's in the box?
Well, it tackles those key concerns like data sovereignty, keeping your sensitive data within your own control on your own premises.
Right.
Plus, potentially better performance or lower operational costs for complex AI models compared to running everything in the cloud. It bundles storage, virtualization, GPU acceleration support, resource management tools.
So it's built for what kind of tasks?
Things like storing the data used for AI training, actually running the inference models, maybe smart manufacturing applications, video analytics, all while keeping that data secure on-prem.
They even mentioned running private large language models directly on it, didn't they? Using open source stuff like Llama.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful capability to bring in-house, rather than relying solely on cloud APIs.
And Synology is leaning into this on-prem trend, too.
Definitely. They were showing off their ActionProtect backup appliance line. There's a new model, the DP7200, with up to 84 terabytes of capacity.
And that's aimed at
helping businesses protect all sorts of data workloads, maybe across different sites. But again, the focus is on central management, visibility, strong ransomware protection again, that immutability idea, and efficient long-term storage, whether that's kept purely on-prem or maybe tiered to the cloud eventually.
They also had something else, PAS7700. Sounded pretty high-end.
Yeah, that's an all-flash NVMe storage solution, really designed for mission-critical stuff.
What makes it mission-critical?
The key is the active design. It means there's no single point of failure aiming for uninterrupted service. Plus, super low latency because it's all NVMe flash, and it supports NVMe-F.
NVMe over fabrics.
Yeah.
That lets you access that super fast storage directly over the network, right? Like it's local.
Exactly. So yeah, the PA7700, that's clearly aimed at demanding enterprise setups or large on-prem deployments needing top performance and reliability.
Okay, but what about smaller scale? Still on-prem, still performance focused, but maybe not enterprise level.
For that kind of use case, TerraMaster announced their F4 424 Pro SSD.
An SSD NAS.
Yeah, a compact NAS, but designed specifically for NVMe SSDs. It's got four slots, runs on an Intel N95 chip, 8 gigs of DDR5 RAM.
So like a totally silent high-performance NAS for maybe a home lab or a quiet office.
That's the idea. They specifically mentioned the silence, claiming it runs under 19 decibels.
Pretty quiet.
And interestingly, it includes a 5GBE port.
5 gig. Okay, that's a nice middle ground. Not just the usual 2.5 gig, but not the expensive 10 gig either.
Right. Kind of hits a sweet spot.
Now, speaking of extreme density and definitely on-prem, probably data center stuff, Utran Technology showed something pretty wild at Computex, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. That PCIe card that holds. How many SSDs was it? 28. 28 M2 SSDs on a single PCIe card.
Just
nuts.
Okay, unpack that. What kind of capacity are we even talking about?
Well, if you load it up with, say, 8 terabyte M.2 drives, that's potentially 224 terabytes on one expansion card.
224 terabytes.
Wow.
And the speed.
They showed it hitting around 109 gigabytes per second throughput. That was in a RAID setup, pulling bandwidth from two PCIe 5.0 by 8 lanes using a special adapter.
That is an incredible amount of storage and speed packed into just one slot.
It really is. Though the sources did note a couple of things. IOPS individual operations per second weren't as high as you'd get from, say, 28 separate high-end drives.
Okay, so optimized for bulk throughput, not necessarily random access.
Seems like it. And the latency was around 0.48 milliseconds. Good for an array, but, you know, not as low as a single top-tier NVMe drive directly on the motherboard.
Makes sense.
It's definitely a power hog, too. Draws up to 400 watts, needs external power connectors like a big graphics card.
And the adapter card itself isn't cheap. Around $3,000. Because of the complex PCIe switch chip needed to manage all those drives.
And practical considerations.
Yeah, you can't hot swap the drives, apparently. And there doesn't seem to be any power failure protection built into the card itself. You would rely on the server's PSU and maybe UPS.
So definitely a niche high-end solution then, for data centers just pushing the absolute limits of storage density and throughput per server slot.
Exactly. You could theoretically fit, what, almost 1.8 petabytes across 8 of these cards in one server.
Yeah.
It just shows the extreme end of where density is going.
Wild. Okay, so, phew, that's a lot on storage. Shifting gears completely now, getting data into and out of all these systems, moving it around, that needs faster networking, right?
Absolutely. And we saw news on boosting speeds pretty much across the board from home users right up to businesses.
Like Nokia bringing Wi-Fi 7 to the home.
Yeah, with their new Beacon 4 and Beacon 9 gateways. This is really important.
Why is that?
Because as internet providers roll out faster fiber, you know, XGSPN, maybe even 25G PON someday.
Right, those multi-gigabit internet speeds.
Your home Wi-Fi needs to keep up. Otherwise, you pay for super fast internet, but you can't actually use those speeds wirelessly around your house.
Good point. So these new beacons are faster.
Yeah, the Beacon 4 offers up to 3.6 gigabits per second over Wi-Fi, and the Beacon 9 pushes towards 9.4 gigabits per second.
That should handle even pretty fast fiber connections then.
Should do. Faster Wi-Fi just means a better experience for everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
High-res streaming, online gaming, responsive smart home stuff.
Yeah, it really is the bottleneck for a lot of people once their wired speed goes up.
Mm-hmm. And for the business side, particularly small and medium businesses, D-Link introduced their DBR series routers and access points.
Okay, who are these aimed at?
Smaller setups, mostly. Mm-hmm. Like retail stores, startups, maybe satellite offices. Places with fewer than, say, 100 users that need secure, decent performance networking, but probably don't have dedicated IT staff to manage really complex gear.
So easier to set up and manage?
That seems to be the goal. They include features like 2.5 gigabit WAN and LAN ports.
Nice.
The ability to use multiple internet connections, maybe for failover or load balancing, built-in VPN support, decent security like firewalls and intrusion prevention.
And PoE, I think I saw that mentioned. Power over Ethernet.
Yeah, and on some models like the DVR600, PoE is great, right? You can power things like security cameras or wireless access points just using the network cable. Simplifies wiring.
Definitely.
And their matching access point, the DVR X3000AP that supports Wi-Fi 6, has mesh capabilities, mm-hmm. WPA3 security. And you can manage it centrally from the routers. It's like a solid package for SMBs.
Okay. What about faster wired networking? Is 10 gigabit Ethernet ever going to become like mainstream affordable?
Well, maybe getting closer. Realtek, you know, the company whose chips are on practically every motherboard for audio and basic networking.
Yeah, they make things affordable.
Exactly. They showed off a new 10 gigabit Ethernet LAN chip at Computex, the RTL8127.
A Realtek 10 gig chip. What's the big deal there?
The potential impact on price and availability. Mm. This new chip supports all the speeds from 10 meg up to 10 gig. It's physically tiny, 9 by 9 millimeters.
Wow.
Needs very little power, apparently under 2 watts, so maybe no heat sink needed. And the price, they expect the chip cost for manufacturers to be around $10.
$10 for a 10 GB chip.
Yeah.
That really suggests we could start seeing 10 gig ports built right onto more mainstream motherboards, doesn't it? Just like how 2.5 gig became common recently.
That's the implication. Add-in cards using this chip might land around, say, $50.
$50 for a 10 gig card is pretty accessible.
It is. Now, widespread integration on motherboards might still be a little way off, maybe late 2025 into 2026, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But it shows 10 gig is definitely on the path to becoming much more common outside of just high-end enthusiast boards or dedicated server stuff.
Interesting. Realtek pushing the envelope there.
Yeah, and they also previewed a PCIe 5.0 SSD controller and a fast USB controller, 20 GBPs, for external drives. So they're pushing on multiple connectivity fronts.
Got it. And just quickly on graphics, sounds like new GPUs are always around the corner. Tech PowerUp's GPU-Z tool is already getting updates.
Yeah, just a little hint to the future, already adding support for upcoming cards like the NVIDIA RTX 5060 and AMD Radeon RX 9060 XT. Shows things are moving along there too.
Always something new. Now, circling back to those on-prem NAS solutions we talked about earlier, the hardware is one thing, but the software matters too, right?
Absolutely critical. And on that front, Asister just released ADM 5.0 for their NAS devices.
VDM 5.0, what's new there?
It's a pretty significant update. They've updated the underlying Linux kernel to version 6.6, which brings various improvements.
Security enhancements, too.
Yep, better security with things like ADM Defender improvements and support for SSH keys for login.
Okay.
And a big one for performance, SMB multi-channel support.
That lets Windows clients use multiple network connections to the NAS at the same time, if the NAS has multiple ports.
It's exactly. Can significantly boost file transfer speeds if you've got the network infrastructure. Plus various UI tweaks and refinements. These kinds of updates are vital, keep the hardware useful and secure.
Definitely. Okay, one last area, accessories and connectivity, especially for maybe creative pros or power users. J5 Create had a bunch of stuff.
They really did. Lots of interesting things. They were showcasing new Thunderbolt 5 docks.
Thunderbolt 5. That's the really fast one, right?
Yeah. Huge leap. Up to 80 gigabits per second bidirectionally, or even up to 120 gigabits per second in one direction using Intel's bandwidth boost feature.
Wow. So these docks can handle
multiple high-res displays, like they were showing triple 8K monitors at 60 hertz, plus adding downstream ports, even M.2 slots for extra storage built into the dock, and 2.5 gigabit Ethernet.
An M.2 slot in the dock. Clever.
Yeah. They even had one they called an AI-ready dock, which apparently had some kind of integrated GPU or MPU module inside it.
Huh. Interesting convergence. What else?
Robust UFB 4 cables that can handle up to 240 watts of power delivery, enough for really powerful laptops. High bandwidth DisplayPort 2.1 cables. Monitor mounts that actually integrate docking station functionality right into the mount itself.
Streamlining the desk setup.
Exactly. And tools for creators like their StreamStation Pro device and some AI-powered audio gear like the SpeechTrack AI for better recording and transcription. It just shows how that whole ecosystem around connectivity and accessories is evolving too, alongside the core compute and storage.
Right. So bringing it all together then. All these pieces we've discussed.
Yeah, the fundamental advances in storage chips like NAND.
The innovations pushing density, like Aga-R and hard drives and LTO tape.
The resurgence of powerful on-prem solutions driven by AI and security needs.
The push for faster networking, wired and wireless, reaching homes and businesses.
And even the accessories that tie it all together.
They're all kind of interconnected, aren't they? Responses to this massive growth in data and the demands of new applications like AI.
Definitely. It really paints a picture of the industry trying to optimize everything simultaneously, capacity, speed, security, and also where the computing happens, cloud, data center, office, home.
It feels like we've gone from the absolute microscopic level, talking about voltage states in a NAND cell.
Yeah. And heating tiny spots on a magnetic platter for Hamor.
All the way up to these massive 100 terabyte hard drives, 75 terabyte tapes, petabyte scale arrays and racks.
And multi-gigabit networking finally becoming more mainstream for everyone.
It's really about seeing how these seemingly separate announcements Chip designs, product launches, software updates, they all fit into this bigger picture, shaping how we're all going to store, move, and process data in the next few years.
So thinking about the listener, what does this all mean for you as you, you know, navigate your own data challenges or plan your next tech upgrade with things like QLC NAND getting faster and denser?
HEBA R pushing high drives to capacities we could barely imagine just a few years ago.
And tape still holding its ground for those huge long-term archives.
Yeah, the provocative thought maybe is, how long until we see a fundamental shift in how we even think about fast versus cheap storage tiers? Are those lines blurring?
Right. And if they blur, or if accessing huge amounts of data just becomes much faster and more cost-effective across the board,
yeah.
What new applications could that unlock for your data, for your projects?
Could enable completely new ways of working, couldn't it?
It really could. It's definitely something to keep an eye on as these technologies mature and become more widely available.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up our deep dive for today, looking at the latest in hardware, networking, and storage based on all those sources. Hopefully that gives you a clearer picture of what's happening out there on the cutting edge.